Think about Psalm 118, verse 24 today, in connection with a prayer. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be exceeding glad. This is the day the Lord hath made, a special day, the Lord's day, not like every day, but a day which the Lord has made possible. And without Him, we would not have this day. It's a good day. Today, I want to talk with you about our journey. And I really want to speak to you. I want to speak to your hearts. And I want to speak to my heart, because I know that there are problems that many of us are facing. And so I want to talk to you about our journey. Life for each one of us consists of what we have done and what has happened to us. It's no wonder that the figure of walking a journey is used often of living one's life. I was just noticing a while ago how many songs there are in our songbook that have to do with a walk, with a journey, that life is a journey. And we're all on that journey. Some journeys are longer than others, but all of our journeys will take us to eternity. Whether the journey is long or short, every single one of us, our journey will take us to eternity. And so taking some ideas from the figure of life as a journey, I want to point out a few things about this journey that you and I need to remember, and raise a few questions about this journey. I might ask you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. We're going to start off by noticing some points that are made there, Hebrews 11. The first question that I raise with you about this journey is based on Hebrews 11:16, where the behavior of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and others, where that's mentioned. Verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." So verse 16, now they desire a better country. So I want to ask, as you travel through life, as you live your life, are you seeking a better country? They did. The verse says they did. They desire a better country. They seek a better country. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, along with other Old Testament saints, did not feel that this world was their home. All three of these men were promised things that did not occur in their lifetimes. It's hard enough to wait for a day, a week, a month, a few months, a year, a few years. But all three of these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were promised things that did not occur in their lifetimes. Namely, the land of Canaan, the multiplication into many nations, the blessing of all nations of the earth through their seed, the three great promises that God made to them. Not a one of these promises was fulfilled during the lifetime of either Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Now, there were promises that God made, blessings that He did give them during their lifetime, such as He gave Isaac to Abraham. And there were things and blessings that God gave to them as time went along. And yet, the three great promises that, in a way, were the overarching promises that God gave them, these three promises, in a way, sustained the relationship between God and these men. Not one of these promises was fulfilled during their lifetimes. Hebrews 11:13, they continued in a land that was not theirs, confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims. I'm reading in verse 13, as it talks about these promises they were given. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confessed it by their behavior. They confessed it by their behavior. They desired a better country, that is a heavenly. I'm now reading verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. That's why they were not looking for something back here on the earth. They desired a better country than they could find anywhere on the earth. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God. So there were the same countries round about, the same world surrounded them that surrounds us. But they were not interested in this world or the nations and the countries of this world. The reason why they were not interested in the countries of this world was because they desired a better one. And there is a better one. Do we want that better country? I want you to look into your own heart and ask, do I want that better country? Or are we making this world and this life our final goal? What is it with you? Where do your thoughts take you? Do they take you beyond the here and now? I fear that many times our thoughts don't take us very far. If we're making this life our goal, if we're making the things of this life our goal, then we have not planned beyond death. Now I want to ask you, do you think you will not die? Is that the reason why there are no plans beyond death itself? You know, one of the points made as you read the Bible, you go back, and I am so impressed with this because I'll get so deeply involved in the life of a character like Abraham. And I just feel like Abraham, he's so full of faith and so full of life and so strong and so... You know how the story of Abraham ends? And Abraham died. Now read about David. I meet him as a young man. I'm with him all during his life. I watch him grow into a mature man, a wonderful man, strong man, spiritually minded man. Then I see him make his horrible mistake and I see him reap consequences. And I get to the end of his life and how does it end? And David died. Even the Son of God Himself who came to the earth from heaven, His life on this earth ended with death. So it is truly, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible tells, actually, about two rich men who had only planned for this life. The first one is that rich man in Luke 16 that we read about in connection with Lazarus. And in Hades, being in torments, the rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus over in paradise in Abraham's bosom. And as he said to Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in anguish in these flames. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. As you read that story, I want to ask you, is it only in this lifetime you want to receive your good things? Are the good things you want things that will be found only in this life, and when that's over, your good things will be over and you won't have any more good things? Is that what we want? Is that the way we're living? Are we living as if that is all we want? And then Jesus told the story about the rich man who planted his fields and his fields brought forth so plentifully he didn't have where to bestow his goods. And he said, I will tear down my barns and build greater ones, and so on. And the Lord said, Thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. And all these things that you have laid up, whose are they going to be? And the Lord then said, So is everyone that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We must bear in mind. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. This is a destiny that we cannot avoid. And so this journey, we've raised the question, are you seeking a better country as the people that we read about in the Bible did? They were seeking a better country. All right, let's look at another point about our journey. Does your heart remain in the country from which you went out? Is your heart still in the country from which you went out? This takes us back again to Hebrews 11. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. For they that say such things, meaning they confess that they are strangers and pilgrims upon this earth, they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Abraham could have spent all his time remembering Ur and its pleasures. And he had a long time to do it, 100 years. In that land where he wandered without any of it being his except what he bought with his own money at the cave of Machpelah near Mamre or Hebron. And during that 100 years, 100 years, we're not even going to live 100 years. And he lived 100 years in Canaan after he left Ur and Haran. And during that 100 years, he did not go about saying, I sure do miss Ur. Man, I wish I could just go back and spend one day in Ur. Oh, I wish I could live in Ur. How I miss Ur. And it's not unknown to us that there are people who feel that way about where they came from. And it's not necessarily wrong to feel that way about what was home. But in Abraham's case, he was called by God to leave Ur. And it wasn't just leaving a home. It was also leaving a context of life, a way of life. And it was embarking on a new journey. A spiritual journey. So for him to spend all of his time remembering Ur and thinking about Ur would have been a spiritual reflection against Abraham. And he did not do that. For 100 years, he did not do that. You know what? We spend all of our time pining about what we cannot do as Christians. And when we spend time pining about or regretting what we cannot do as Christians, what that is implying is there are a lot of things that we're still in love with that we haven't gotten rid of. We haven't dealt with them. They're still a plague in our lives. We're still yearning for the place we came from. We haven't dealt with that. We chafe at how we must live and wish for things that Christians cannot have and not only cannot have but should not want. The emphasis should not be on cannot have. The emphasis should be upon should not want. Is our heart still in the country from which we went forth? Our love of the world may be such that we cannot leave it alone. John wrote in 1 John 2:15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man is in the world, or if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. And it may be that we become so enamored with the world that we can't let it go. Well, we better let it go. or we will not reach that better country. A third question I want to ask. Have you forgotten your goals? Have you lost your first love? Have you lost your spiritual enthusiasm? Sometimes it is good to compare yourself now with yourself 5 years ago. That's an arbitrary figure. Compare yourself where you are now with what you were 5 years ago. Have you climbed upward? Are you closer to heaven? Or have we slipped back? Have we slipped back? Remember, we will not get out of this life alive. That's not the way it will happen. It is not, therefore, our goal to continue living here indefinitely, is it? Can we live here indefinitely? No, we can't. And it's something that I shudder to think about. But we must think about it. I want to tell everybody, if you are in the middle of your race, don't abandon it. Don't quit. Finish it. You must finish it. Don't abandon it. Sometimes it's really hard to keep going. But don't quit. Don't abandon it. I've said to you before, and I say it again, it is not a matter of running the race for a few days or a few years. That's not going to get you where you want to go. The only way to do that is to finish it. It must be finished. It's easy enough to be faithful any one given day or any one given week. But what is hard is to stay there for the duration. And that's what it's got to be. And I sense that there are times that we're being tempted to quit, to give up, because of the pressures of life. Settle in for the long haul, however long it may be. Have you given up your journey? Has faith died? Has your zeal waned? Have problems gotten too big and too constant? As I'm talking to you about this subject today, there is both that which is evil in its nature that may divert us from our journey. But there may also be that which is not evil in itself, but it may nevertheless become something that causes us to abandon our journey. So there are two things here. I'm not necessarily talking about the sin of the world, even though I have talked about that. And that is one of the things we must be concerned with. That we not get wrapped up in the things of this world that would tempt us to do wrong. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But there are also other things which are not wrong in and of themselves, but they may defeat us. If we're not careful, we may let them defeat us. And if we're defeated by them, we're defeated as surely as if we had been defeated by anything else. And problems that are too big, problems that are too constant, certainly have a tendency to do that, to get us discouraged, to get us depressed. And then the devil has an easier time to work on our faith, to work on destroying our faith, and to work on destroying our zeal. So we must be aware of that. Jesus mentioned the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that choke the word. So there are two things there, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, but both of them choke the word. The cares of the world are not necessarily evil. They are the business of everyday life and the burdens of everyday life. And sometimes those burdens are heavy. And sometimes those burdens are unremitting. And it's hard. It's hard. It's very difficult. And I know a number of our people who are struggling with those burdens and those problems. And I'm not at all saying it's your fault. These things come upon us because of illness, because of age, and because of other things in life that are beyond our control. But they come anyhow. They come anyhow. And they're difficult. We must not let them choke the word. We must not give up. These things can get to the point that they monopolize our thinking and our attention. And we can't do anything else. We can't think about anything else. We must break the mold. And we must think. We must pray. We must read a little Scripture. We must at least think about it as long as we're able. I also know that people sometimes get to the point they can't even do that anymore. I realize that. But we must encourage one another. And as long as we have mind, we must not give up. There are times in life when all you can do is what you must do. And when that's what you can do, that's what the Lord expects you to do. So if you can only do what you must do, then do that. And it may be that all you can do is endure. When problems get too big and too constant, one's very spirituality can be overwhelmed. And there isn't an easy answer. Do not give up. That old saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Sometimes that's all that you can do. With the advance of age, the infirmities of life can divert one's attention away from the fact that that means that you're getting close to the end of your race. The reward is in sight. And these things can introduce a little bit of light into an otherwise very dark horizon. In other words, this is not the time to give up, but to press on with whatever ability one has. As Paul said in Philippians 3:12, I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Journeys take one through different terrains. And sometimes the journey is so pleasant that it seems worthy in and of itself, regardless of the destination. I don't know whether every single person has a journey like that, but I think that most people, they have a journey that at least at some time in life, the journey itself will be so pleasant that it seems that you know, the journey is all I'm interested in because it's so wonderful. Well, even that can sometimes make you forget that you are on a journey and there is a destination. And just because things are going great right now doesn't mean that it will continue that way. We must not allow pleasant territory make us forget there is still a destination. But skies are not always blue. This journey takes us through different terrain, and skies are not always blue. Many times one faces the fact that in spite of everything one might wish, things do not always go the way one would wish. That also becomes a reality of life, and you will have to deal with that. I don't believe there's anybody that if you ask them, if they've lived for several decades, if you were to say, has everything gone the way you want it to in your life? That they would say, yeah, everything. There's not a thing in the world that's gone wrong. I would be a little bit scared to be around the person who would say that. Because that's just not so. It is universally. Someone has said, I think it may have been a part of a poem, regardless, it's true, into every life a little rain must fall. And this is one of the rains. You have to deal with things that don't go the way you wanted them to go. And disillusionment strikes us. Because many times we had unrealistic expectations of life. And many times that disillusionment comes because we were hoping for a better one now. When we're not promised the better one now, we're promised not only the better one, but the wonderful one in the next life. Now, you've got to be ready for whatever happens in this life that may be unpleasant. God has not promised us that we're always going to have blue skies. We have to be prepared for that. We must be prepared for the different times of life and be faithful through them all. This is the last point. In all our journey, the most important point is to reach the proper destination, heaven itself. That's the most important thing. That's the destination we want to reach. And as I say that to you, and as I look at everybody in this audience, and I know an awful lot about you and your life, and I know what you're doing and what you're thinking about. I know a lot of what you've faced, problems you've had in your life, and problems I've had in mine, and so on. And I am aware of the danger that we are in of being diverted. It is so easy for us to be diverted. And I'm trying to say, don't let yourself be diverted. Keep your heart and your mind on the destination of heaven. Don't forget that. The most important point is to reach the proper destination, heaven itself. And to do this, we must not quit. We must not give up. We must not go back to that country from which we came out. We must not be diverted or turned away. We must overcome. In every letter that Jesus dictated to John in Revelation 2 and 3, He said that the blessing is to him that overcometh. And when we read in Revelation 2 and 3 about overcoming, what we tend to do is we tend to say, that's persecution. And so what I plan is that when they bring me before the chopping block and tell me that if I don't deny Jesus, they're going to cut my head off. I'm not going to deny Him. I'm going to really be faithful. Well, that would certainly be persecution, and that would certainly be a fearful thing. But that's not all that overcoming involves. And by our tending to think that overcoming involves stuff like that, we miss the point that confronts us. And that is that other kinds of trials may do us in when the threat of death at the hands of the executioner wouldn't have done it. If I'm overcome by sin, if I'm overcome by my desire for the things of this world, if I'm overcome by depression, if I'm overcome by things like that, I am still overcome. I'm defeated. And the thing is, it is to him that overcometh. We have to take these things we've talked about here seriously. These are enemies of spirituality, and we must take them seriously. And it's like in any struggle. You know, there just aren't many struggles where everybody goes into it with joy and zeal, and they're going to go into it with all the flags waving and everything like that. No, when you get into any kind of a protracted struggle, it gets to be a thing involving grit and determination and a refusal to give up. And I want to encourage all of us to know and understand that. And don't give up. Let's remain true to the journey all the way. If you're not a Christian today, you are on a journey, because life is a journey. But if you're not a Christian, then at this point your destiny is sure. And that destiny is hell. That dread destiny of hell and eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. But it doesn't have to be, because it is still today. And you're still here. What I want to get you to do is to make your decision to take that journey and take that fork that you're now confronting, and take the fork that leads to heaven instead of staying on the one you're on. Become a Christian today, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Turn away from sin and turn to the Lord with all your heart. Confess your faith. Be baptized to have those sins removed, and serve the Lord faithfully the rest of the way. And if you have been a Christian, but you have waxed cold, if you have done that which you believe you need to correct, if you need to correct it, then do so, please. If you need to correct it publicly, do so, please. And if you desire the prayers, all of us, we're reformed sinners, all of us are. All saints are reformed sinners. We will pray with you and for you, that God may forgive you, as He has forgiven all of us from time to time. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.